Welcome to Shout Out to You Tuesdays. How you guys doing? Like, we are in May and time is just moving along. Time is moving along. And guess what, guys? I made it to 5 years. Cancer free. I know I have both hands up, but it's like I'm giving you a high five. So yeah, so high five me back. Okay, there you go. Thank you. Anyway, so hey, welcome to Shout Out to You Tuesdays. I'm so excited and probably halfway goofy, but you're just gonna have to deal with it today. And I hope that you are feeling blessed. And we have lots of things to talk about today, but I do want to give you a resource for today, which is New Hope Wellness Center. Ta-da! I will post this on my social media, but they have no-cost screenings for the insured and uninsured patients accepted. You can book online at nhwellnesscenter.org or call the number here, or even do walk-ins. You see the address, they're located at 2809 Northwest 31st Street in Oklahoma City. Oh, I hope you can see that. But anyways, you should connect with them or share this resource with someone that could definitely benefit from a new wellness center. I mean, who doesn't like a new wellness center? Everybody does. So one thing I know I said I was going to start mentioning to you about tea. So one of the products that I make is a black tea lemonade. Listen, everybody goes bananas about black tea lemonade. And do you know it's been, well, next month will actually be a year since I launched that product on my product line. And I'm so excited. So I want you to do some research about black tea. Like, I don't want you to think I'm just calling this tea because I'm black. No. It's called black tea. But anyways, I just want you to do some homework. And then next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about it. And you can also go to my website, which is shirtatllc.org. Now, enough about me. Are y'all ready to talk to the Williams? You stuck with me? I think it's going to be a great conversation. Let me bring them on in. Mr. and Mrs. Marquise and Taylor Williams. Did I say your first name right?
Marquise.
Marquise, I was almost there. I'm sorry. I apologize. Marquise, welcome, welcome. How are you guys doing?
We're
We're good.
good. We're good. Thanks for
Good.
having us.
Look at them chiming in, like sounding like twins. We're good. We're good. I like that. So welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy that you guys are on the show today. I know you have your own podcast called You Stuck With Me, right? Now, tell me a little bit about this. What do you mean you stuck with me? Like, I can't never leave? What you talking
So you basically you can never leave. So you
about?
with us now. So we family. We
Okay.
okay. No. So the name of You Stuck With Me came from what I used to always tell Marquise when he was going through his treatments that he had to get his ish together because I cannot do life without him. I don't just wake up. I just don't wake up 3 in the morning to come visit somebody in the hospital because, you know, they my friend and all that stuff. I just don't do that for everybody. So I said, hey, get your ish together because you stuck. You stuck with me. I can't do life without you. So.
Oh, I love that. Now listen, I'm gonna need some tissue. Do I need to get some tissue? Because I can get emotional sometimes.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, I like that. So Taylor, you came up with the name. You stuck with me, and you guys just decided to make it into a podcast. Or wait, let's back up. Let's back up. How did you two meet? Start there. How did you two lovebirds meet? Can we go
So
there?
here's a disclaimer. There's three sides to this story. There's my side, which is the truth, and his side.
I agree too. And look how you're looking like,
But I'll let him start.
So we actually went to high school together.
Oh,
So
okay.
she was a freshman and I was a senior. So our high school was small, so some classes we had, and we intermixed the grades.
Okay.
So in our case, it was gym. So me being me in high school, I was silly, I was stupid, being, just all around crazy.
Okay.
But I was still a good student though. Let's make no mistake about that.
Okay.
So we had gym class. This was 2006. And she was sitting next to a mutual friend of ours. And they were talking about something. I came over, sat on the bleachers next to him, and she started pointing. And me being the silly senior I am, I'm like, that. Need to get rid of that. Because she, under her arm.
Yeah, so I was talking to my friend, pointing, you know, doing my finger stuff. He comes, looks under my shirt, under my sleeve, and said, that. You need to get rid of all of that. And I'm a baby freshman, so, you know, that could be detrimental to my
self. Right. Right. How dare you?
Right. The audacity. So
look, this is me literally half a lifetime ago. So
right. Okay. Understood.
So about two weeks later. So he has the audacity to ask me out on a date after that.
Mm.
So he was like, hey, you want to go to the movies or anything like that? And I'm like, I'm kind of hesitant because at the time I was dating somebody. And
wait, not the way he looked. Like, you what? I didn't know that.
He knew. Okay. He knows that. He just doesn't care for him. So, so I'm like, you know, I'm kind of hesitant. I'm like, are you playing with me? Because he's a senior and I'm a freshman. So I'm just like, he can't be serious. Right. And I was like, I'll think about it. So I was out of school for about a week. So, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Next time I see Marquise, you know, I forgot he even asked me out. So let him tell it. He say I curved him.
Indeed.
I curved him.
Now, what does curve mean?
Basically, I ghosted him because he asked me out and I never gave him an answer.
Indeed.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, she said she forgot. I mean.
And I told him, I'm like, if you was really serious about it, how come you didn't remind me the next time you saw me? Like, hey, what's up?
But right.
No. I had to carry that ill all senior year.
Well, you know, your first impression is a little like, was he, I don't know if to take him serious or what's the deal, you know. And plus, she's a freshman. You kind of—I don't even know Taylor personally, but I'm like, it's hurt her feelings.
Do you think? Now, add on to it, I was actually a year ahead of what I was supposed to be, so I was technically supposed to be a junior.
Okay.
So
but she didn't know that.
Well, that understands me.
She didn't know that.
Look, you're not going to be using the host to double team me on every podcast.
I'm not using the host. I'm just telling my story.
You're just telling a story. That's okay. You feel free to tell your story. But that's a cute story. I like that. So do you feel like when you made that comment to her, you were trying to
break the ice?
Yeah, thank you. Do you feel like you were trying to break the ice because you were already liking her, or are you just?
I was at the time. I felt like I was just breaking the ice, just being silly. That's really it. So
okay. And look, all these years later, here we are, and you guys are still together.
So apparently, it worked.
Well,
I think so.
Hey.
Taylor, you're not trying to admit that. You said no.
It took some time. He had to grow up. He had to grow on me.
Just go ahead and say it. You were right, husband.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-mm. Next question.
This is
us all the time.
I can tell. So where are you guys from?
Chicago.
Good old Windy City. Okay.
And it's windy right now.
It is windy right now.
Oh, see. Well, at least it's not cold. Hopefully, I mean, because y'all usually get all kinds of different types of weather up there. I can't talk because I'm in Oklahoma. So we get everything. But either way.
I hope you're safe down there.
Yes, I am. Are you talking about the tornadoes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I pay attention. There was a time back when I was in high school, my siblings and I, we would go outside and just kind of peek when we thought we would see some, and then we would be in the house because mama didn't play that. But yeah. But no, we're safe. Everything is fine. Clear skies right now. You never know. dealing with Oklahoma weather. But anyways, with you guys and your love connection and you stuck with me, what can you say to the young people that are in this dating pool right now and they feel like it's contaminated and there's no hope for them? I've heard this. I'm pretty sure you've seen it all over social media where it's like, I'm just gonna stay single. I don't need anybody. Do you have some words of encouragement? Because you guys are pretty young. So what can we say to help our young generation?
It can happen.
It can happen. And don't believe everything you see on social media.
Don't believe everything you see on social media.
Okay.
Because the things that you see on social media, that's just a small subset of a lot of people. It's a loud minority.
And also, we're in a time period where social media, you can create a persona. Right. So it may seem like, for example, I like to use us as an example. We may seem like we have it all together, that everything is all peaches and cream and all that stuff. But like we always say, the Marquise and Taylor that you see now is not the same Marquise and Taylor that we were, six or seven years ago.
Mm-hmm. Like, you got to learn. I think what everybody wants in a relationship, as far as what you're seeing on social media, they want instant gratification. They want it now, now, now. And nobody wants to take the time to build with somebody and then enjoy the fruits of their labor later on.
Right. That's true. Now, every once in a while, I bring up the Bachelorette show, right? And the Bachelor. Do you guys watch that?
I've seen it.
I've seen clips, but
Name my cup of tea. What about you, Taylor? You try to get through a whole season. Have you ever made it through all the shows?
Made it through all a whole season. I think so.
Okay. What's your thoughts on that before I tell you my spiel?
Well, the whole show in general, I. First of all, the contestants are brave, okay? Because it's
right.
It takes a lot to get on TV and find love for real. And then you're fighting over one person.
One person.
But I always say the finale and then the reunion, I always think it's like scripted, because it's like you had me go through all this to fight for your love, and then we don't even stay married or get married at all. Like, that's a waste of my time. That would piss me off.
There we go. Bingo. And that's why I brought that up, because you're talking about social media, right? And I feel like the show gives this sense of, oh, we're going to be in love and we can take all these lavish trips and all this stuff. But it's like, when you come to the reality of life, it's not always, hey, I get to go to all these different places and we just having fun, and we never, ever deal with life. You know, like, hey, some people have a pet peeve. Do you leave the toilet seat up? Do you clean the tub after yourself? Do you all these different little things? And so then once you get down to the nitty gritty, it's like, oh, they don't stay together. Oh, they didn't work out. Well, why not? What happened? Why we don't get to see that part?
Like, and know why they didn't stay together. Because I want to know why.
Yeah, I want to know why.
I think shows like The Bachelor, Bachelorette, 90 Day Fiancé, those are like microwave relationships. And it's not really built on anything solid.
It's just for entertainment. But why waste your time, like Taylor said? Because if I want to find love, I'm going to have it in my mind. Oh, I'm going to go and I'm going to do all these wonderful things, and then I'm going to be in love, and we're just going to sail away together. It's like, what's that book? The fairy tale books that we used to read back in the day, like Cinderella and Snow White.
Yeah.
And all them, right? But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty of working on your relationship, like you guys said, you're not the same how you were in school, and now here you are 6-7 years later, totally different. So mm-hmm. what what is needed to make a relationship work instead of the fakeness?
Oh, I love this question.
Okay. Can I start? Go ahead.
Because
I love your answers.
Because we always talk about this with our friends, and then we also mentioned it a couple times on our podcast. So I said the first thing is you got to have a solid foundation, right? Mm-hmm. A solid foundation. And I don't mean just a solid foundation with you and whoever you in love with, right? I mean, you got to have a solid foundation within yourself, because if you can't take care of yourself, how can you take care of somebody else?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Where the rewind button? Can you say that again, please?
I said, if you can't take care of yourself, how can you take care of somebody else? If you don't love yourself, how can you pour love into somebody else, right?
Right.
And love and you know, babe, we talked about this too. We talked about how love is sometimes can be subjective, right? Mm-hmm. So right. That's why we have these different things like the five love languages. You know, gifts, quality time, physical touch,
words
of affirmation, all that, right? But if mm-hmm. you can't supply that to yourself, how can you pour that into somebody else?
That's a good question.
And even if you try to pour into somebody else, you're not going to have anything left over for yourself.
You're going to be depleted, because then there's that builds that resentment of, oh, this person's not loving me the way I want to be loved. But then you never established how you want to be loved. How do you love yourself?
Right. You haven't established that from the beginning. So it's kind of like you just throwing stuff up in the air, and wherever it falls is where it falls.
Yeah,
and I appreciate you making that statement, because there are people that have a void and they try to fill it with other things, and it never seems to get filled because mm-hmm. You haven't filled it yourself. And I think that's an important part for us to look at. Like if you're not loving yourself, how can I love somebody else? Because they can love you totally wrong. And you don't even realize that it's wrong until somebody brings it up to your attention. Like, hey, you don't have to be treated like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think that's a good way of looking at that love language. So do you guys have a certain love language that works for you guys?
Yeah. So we actually took the test on what love language is perfect for us. And for myself, I'm a words of affirmation and touch. So that's mine.
Okay.
Mine actually changed. So when I took it with Marquise, this was the second time I took it in like, I want to say like 10 years, probably 10, 11 years. So one thing that had changed is one of my primaries is quality time.
Okay.
Quality time. And it kind of changed a little bit. So it's like a toss up between words of affirmation and acts of service.
Now, what do you think made it change? Because I know you still want quality time, but what made it change? Have you ever thought about that?
I think as we have gone through life, you know, day to day, you're not going to be the same person that you were years ago. You know, like we said, you know, what she might like today, she may not like tomorrow. What I might like today, I might not like tomorrow. So you don't expect your spouse to be the same person that they were when you first met them, or when you first married, or before your first child, whatever the case may be.
And I would contribute to like my dating experiences, right? So of course, when I was younger, I always had a crush on some little boy, right? And you know, the stuff I thought I would want at like 16, you know, it's not the same now at 31. So it's like life experiences, and then you know, testing the waters, like, okay, I don't like how this one treated me. So in my next relationship, I want this. Like, this what helps me feel filled.
Okay. Now you guys said there was a test that you did together, like there's a couples test.
So in that book is written by Rex Chapman. At the end of the book, it has a test that you and your spouse can do together or do apart.
Yeah, it's the love languages test.
Exactly.
Okay, listen, let me tell Reggie we're going to take a test today.
It's a good book.
It's a really good book.
There's no telling what our love language is. I could probably hear him now. I don't know, but we're gonna leave that alone because Rich is a whole nother ball game. Okay, so that's cool. So what made you guys take that test?
Well, it was suggested to us because we did premarital counseling before we got married. So we read the book, and she actually already had a copy. I didn't know that, but we were given a book as, you know, part of premarital counseling. So we both sat down, we both read it, and we went through the test, and we found that, you know, I don't want to say symmetrical, but similar in some ways and different in others, which is quite okay because you're not going to be exactly the right person for your spouse all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. Now, do you recommend counseling before you get married?
Yes.
I say counseling and funny story while we talking about this. I say counseling and also individual therapy. So around the time me and Marquise were engaged, I was just going through like a lot of stuff like stress, anxiety, all that, and then dealing with family issues, whatever the case may be at the time. And I just remember I just told Marquise, I was like, hey, bae, I need to talk to you about something. And he was like, sure, what's up? I said, first of all, I don't want you to think it's you. It's not you. It's all me. I need to go to therapy. I got some things I want to work out. And I just don't feel right getting ready to walk down the aisle. And I'm not giving you my best self. And that was a lot for me because in previous relationships, I would talk about going to therapy and stuff like that. And those guys would be like, well, you're not crazy. You know, you're just going through everyday stress. You don't need to do that. But what made it different with Marquise was he's receptive to it. And he didn't make me feel like I was judged for that. Mm. Matter of fact, he was like, I support it. Whatever you need me to do, I'm here. Matter of fact, let's look at. If you want, I can help you find therapists that you probably be comfortable with.
And see, the thing about it was when she told me that, I was like, okay, like she said, I support her, but also I didn't want her to not do it before we said I do, and then there would be issues down the line in our marriage that could have been rectified right then and there. So mm-hmm. for her to come to me and say that, one, I didn't judge her because I'm a big advocate of therapy myself.
Okay.
So for her to just come to me and say that, which meant that one, she trusted me, two, she felt comfortable with opening up to me about it, and three, she knew I wouldn't judge her. So I'm like, okay, you know what? Go ahead and take care of yourself. Do what you got to do so we can be good later.
Yeah. And I remember saying, like, please don't be mad at me. Please don't be mad at me. You know, that was just my mode of thinking at the time. But
and I was like, far from mad at her.
He was like, what I need to be mad for? I'm actually happy that you told me. So, you know, whatever you're going through, it don't blow up like 2, 3, 4 years down the road in a marriage. And I'm just looking like, what's going on?
Right. But, you know, it sounds like you, from past relationships, when you mention that to someone, their response to you wasn't receptive. And then did you ever felt like you went to counseling at any point in your previous relationship? Or once they said, oh, you don't need to do that, or you just kind of left it alone?
I would say that I attempted to go to therapy, but never stuck through it.
Okay.
Like, I'm like, okay, I feel like, oh, I'm good with one session. I don't need no more, you know? Okay. And at the time I was learning, like, it's a continuous thing.
Right. Most definitely. And you have to have the support. If you don't have the support, you kind of feel like you're, I want to say swimming without a life jacket and you in an ocean somewhere. Like, you just, yeah, that's a better word. Thank you. I'm such a miserable person. Yes. Stranded. And that's good. And I appreciate you taking the time to have that open conversation with your fiance at that time, because if you're not able to have an open conversation with you before the I do, you know, what's going to happen after I say I do? You know, you're not going to have that trust. And I think that's really, really, really important to make sure that your relationship is sustainable Definitely. So you suggested therapy. You did it on your own as far as individual, and then you guys had counseling together, right? Okay. Did you at any point felt like it was going to be different, like a different transition for you? Because I know in therapy you end up disclosing a lot of things that you may or may not have known when you were dating, so or courting, however, so to speak. And so once you've kind of revealed certain things, did you ever feel like ashamed or anything of that nature?
I wouldn't say ashamed, but I would say that I felt a little reserved, not because Marquise made me feel that way, but you know, it's like going to therapy for me is like, you know, unlearning a habit, right? You have this, yeah. I have this habit of having this guard up and, you know, be like, I got it. Everything could be crumbling around me. And I just feel like, you know what? I got it. You know, I'm good. But now being in the space where I do have a partner, a spouse that's like creates that open environment where I can be myself, I can have communication and let them know that how I'm feeling and don't feel judged. That was foreign to me, very foreign, right? So in the beginning stages of us, I guess in the towards the end of the dating courting stage, towards the whole engagement part of it, and even a little bit in the beginning of our marriage, it was an adjustment for me to like, okay, he is a safe space. It's okay.
It's okay.
And also, and this is one of the things I talk about on our podcast too, about how I felt uncomfortable telling him about how I was feeling this stuff or when I was going through a problem beforehand, because I felt like it would be a burden to him because, you know, he's going through treatment, beating cancer and everything like that. And I'm just going through like this internal battle. I didn't want to add more to his plate.
And I can constantly tell her, regardless of what I got going on, you know, you can come to me and we can talk about, or I can just be a listening ear for you to vent. That's what I'm here for. And it took her a while to get used to that, like she said, because she had never had it. So when she did get used to it, she's like, oh, okay. Let me go to bed. Let me go to bed. Each time I'm an open book. Just let me know if I need to give you are you looking for a response or you just want to vent?
Like, oh, this feels nice here.
I like that. So what about you, Marcus? I know we talked a lot about Taylor, and no, I'm trying not to just talk to Taylor all the time. I'm sorry. Apologize. But what about you with going through your therapy sessions and everything? What did you feel like it helped you in your marriage, or how has it helped you in your marriage?
Well, it started with my communication. I'm between us, she's the better communicator than I am. So I was always starting off in our relationship and dating and in marriage, trying to become a better communicator. And what I did realize is that communication verbally is not the majority of what the person you're talking to or speaking to is getting. Majority of communication is your body language. So 90% of what you're saying isn't coming out of your mouth. So
now you know, we learned that when mama and daddy was getting on to us, because our body language was telling them stuff that we didn't really say out of our mouth. Sorry, flashback, go ahead.
No, you're right, because you didn't have to say anything before your parents realized that, oh, so you, okay.
Right.
Go get the switch, go get the spoon, go get the belt, whichever one you want.
Right, whichever one.
But yeah, I learned that my posture and the way that I took in whatever she was saying could be misinterpreted. So what I tried to do and what I've been doing is like, okay, I'm making sure that I'm actively listening and I'm attentive and I'm listening not to speak, but listening to understand.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I'm listening not to speak, But listening to understand. Now, ladies, you know we all want a man that will listen to understand what we're saying. Listen, I'm over here sharing. But like, are you listening to what I'm saying? You're 100% right. Definitely, definitely. And I can definitely relate. Because sometimes I say things to Reggie's my husband. Sometimes I say things to Reggie and I'm like, well, maybe he didn't understand what I was saying. And I've had people say, well, we're not in your head, so we can't understand it like you understand it. So you have to explain it to me where I can understand it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
And that's a good thing, because what I also learned is that men and women communicate differently.
Very differently.
So what I would say to her, and she may try to break it down, like, okay, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? I'm like, no, it was just straightforward. Well, on the in reverse, she's saying something to me, and then she's expecting me to break it down. And I'm just taking it at face value.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I had to learn to, like, okay, I can't exactly tell her to say what she means, because for what she means may have three or four different ways to be evaluated and understood. So, like, our communication in a marriage, not even just marriage, but dating, is always something that's constantly flowing. You're never going to exactly get it right, but you always got to keep that open line, because if you stop communicating with your spouse or with your significant other, there goes relationship, bye bye relationship.
Right. You don't want it to slowly go down the drain. I'll put it like that. And you know, do you feel like marriage is easy?
At times.
It has its perks, so it could be easy.
Okay. It has its perks. Okay. I'll take that. Because sometimes I feel that when there's trials and tribulations, you know, or what's that other vowel? Goodness, sickness and health. You can tell I don't remember my vowels all the way, but you know that part. But when you have that sickness and health that comes in the play, or, you know, trials and other things that happen, I feel like that's where the work comes in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because before our marriage, we often say that we did the sickness and the health through death do us part before you even said we got married. So
is that how you felt like it happened that way? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it happened that way.
So in 2017, it was a rough year for both of us. It was a rough year for her because her mother and her grandmother passed away.
Oh, mercy.
Within months of each other. And then after her mother passed away, months later, I received the cancer diagnosis.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Yes.
So we really battled with that. And then once I was deemed well enough to go out in public again, this is 2018 at this point. So we also compete competitively in the game of Madden, like on big stages.
So, oh, the football game?
Yes.
Madden game. Okay.
So at our first major tournament, it was a two-day tournament, and I made it to the second day. So after I lost in the first round. So after that, we decided to stick around to see who will win, because the winner will receive $5,000. But unfortunately, instead of sticking around to see who was the winner, we ended up becoming victims in a mass shooting.
Wait, what?
So
basically, in the tournament that we're in, excuse me, the tournament that we were in, one competitor, he shot up the tournament, and unfortunately, two people died before he turned on himself. So we that was hard, because we of course, thank God we made it out. You know, Marquise made it out before I did, and we wasn't really hurt. I sustained a sprained ankle, and he had some, well, we both in a sense had survivor's guilt and everything. So that was a hard time. And then in the midst of that, the cancer had returned. So now we're dealing with his second bout of cancer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, So with that happening, eventually the following summer, July of 2019, I needed to get a stem cell transplant, which was successful. So we were dealing with that, and I was starting to, you know, I was starting to gain myself back, because after all of that, physically, mentally, you're not the same.
Right.
So as soon as I started to become healthy again, COVID-19.
The pandemic hit. So we dealing with it. Separation. At the time I was working, I was a healthcare worker. So it was like I had to limit my time with him and everything. And it was a lot. But the bright spot about 2020 was that's when he proposed to me on the rooftop overlooking Lake Michigan, asking me to be his wife. So
October 10th, 2020.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I'm happy I can smile at this point, because that's a
real. No, it was bad. It was a lot.
So that's why we say that we did the sickness and health until death do us part before we got said, married.
Yeah, which is part is the basis of our podcast, our Orthodox Love Story. Because I mean, you don't know too many couples who go through all that at a young age before saying I do.
And yes, and just hanging in there. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Now, Marquise, do you mind to talk about your cancer journey?
I don't mind at all.
Okay. What was your diagnosis?
Chronic myeloid leukemia. So it's basically cancer of the blood.
Okay. And so you had to go through several treatments, not once, but a few times, because you said it returned.
Yeah, I had to go through radiation. I did chemotherapy. So now I'm taking medication, but it's more so maintenance. I'm doing way better than what I was prior. I'm thankful to God, because I feel like I have a second chance at life. Prior to that, I was ripping and running. I was not sitting down. At the time, my ex-girlfriend and I, we were on the outs. And just money issues, and it was a lot. So I think the stress of that, all of that, is what brought the cancer on. Mm-hmm. So afterwards, when I received the stem cell transplant, I just sat back and I reflected one day. I said, I just honestly prayed to God and said, thank you for a second chance of life, and I'm not going to blow it.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm not going to, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I know you probably didn't know, but I'm a cancer survivor. And so I love to hear the story, because we struggle with sharing our story with other people, because you never know what someone else is going through, and they may be able to be inspired or empowered by what you said or shared. So thank you for doing so. All is well now?
Yes.
Maintenance and everything is doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's good. Because you know, one thing that I tell everyone is when you receive that cancer diagnosis, it's hard not to equate death with that word. And that's why I always try to just say, hey, we got to focus on hope and recovery. Because if you just focus on the D word, you're messing up your mindset, you know, your whole outlook on treatment and all of that. So you just have to really be supportive and have the support that you need, like your beautiful wife, and being able to just talk and have that conversation with someone, because I know that's taxing on your body and all of those things.
And you're right, because as soon as I received the diagnosis, literally the first thing that came to my mind was, how much time do I have left? Mm-hmm. And I think that unfortunately in popular culture, cancer is looked at as the end all the be all in a negative light. Just because you received the diagnosis doesn't mean that it's the worst case scenario. So when they sat down and told me my options and everything, I'm like, okay, let me take my emotions out of it and really listen. And that's how my, not only my wife, but my parents were able to help me to go through this whole entire transition. So
yeah,
I think honestly say that I have the best support system in the world and I wouldn't trade them for anything.
Aw, that's good. Hugs through the phone. No, not through the phone, but you know, through the computer. Yeah. So,
baby, I need heart tissue. I wasn't expecting all this.
Sorry. So how long have you guys been married now?
It'll make 2 years in July.
In July. Okay. Oh, yeah, you guys are still kind of newlywed, so to speak.
July 16, 2022 is when we got married.
Okay. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So you guys have plans for this coming up anniversary? Or is it
a surprise? We're trying to put some things together. Our anniversary falls in the middle of the week, so we're going to do something on the weekend.
Probably that weekend. I do have one thing he doesn't know about yet, so... Yeah.
He's on hush. Yes. Well, you know, I don't know. Well, I guess I can. I guess I shall. So for May 15th will be our anniversary and it'll be, oh my gosh. Whoa, Lord. How many years? 14 years.
Wow.
I know, right? No. I'm just I love Reggie to death. You know, we've been together since 2004. And so it's been a minute. And so I always tell people that, you know, when you're in that relationship, you have to remind yourself of the why.
Mm-hmm. Because
if you don't remember the why, you'll let any and every little thing just get on your nerves. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to get on your nerves regardless. And we're going to get on your nerves regardless. I'm just going to let you know, Marquise. She's going to get on your nerves one day. And we're not trying to, but, you know, it happens. But
she every year at some point, she would ask me, am I sick of her yet? And I said, if I'm not sick of you, if I'm still here, clearly I'm not sick of you.
Every milestone, every year, I'd be like, dang, you still here? You ain't sick of me yet? I know I'm a lot. You still ain't sick of me? Be like, if I was sick of you, I would not be here.
5 years, 5 years dating, 2 years married. I'm not sick of you.
Well, that is wonderful. I'm so happy to have met you guys and to hear your story and to connect with you because I think it's important. So hopefully one day I'll be in Chicago and we can connect. It won't be in the wintertime because y'all not gonna get me trapped up there and all that.
Look, the only thing, I'm going to be honest with you, the only thing that you would have to worry about in the wintertime is lake effect wind because we barely get snow anymore.
Oh, you global barely warming. Get snow.
Global warming, change that.
I think in the past, I'm going to throw a ballpark number out there, say in about the last 5 or 6 years, we probably only had heavy snow like 2 years.
I would even say in the past two, 3 years, we haven't had a really bad snowstorm, if that.
Okay. I'll trust you because I don't drive on the white stuff. I don't do that. Mm-mm. Somebody got to drive me around. Reggie, I already know. I didn't have enough accidents for my lifetime. I'm done. So with your podcast, now when does your podcast air? And Where can they find you?
So our podcast airs on Mondays. We're actually on hiatus right now, but we'll be back next month. So you can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Spotify. And you can also find us on YouTube.
Ooh, YouTube. Okay. So you guys need to connect with them. Go and listen to them. Listen, you need to catch up while they're on break right now. Go and catch up on all of their episodes and tune in. I like that you stuck with me. So do you guys have special guests on your podcast?
So this season, this upcoming season, we're working on having special guests and we would love to have you on.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I don't think Reggie would probably participate. He don't play well with others, but no, I'm just joking.
So what? One of a couple of things about our podcast is that we actually try to keep it under 30 minutes, but some episodes do go like at the max 42 minutes because we don't want to lose our audience So we don't want people to get bored and like, okay, they're talking too much, yada, yada, yada.
Maybe they don't get bored because, you know, we have our karaoke. So one thing.
Karaoke?
Yes. One thing that stands out about our episode titles are actually song titles. And we always have a song, a karaoke session. Well, I think I'm Whitney Houston. I have the best voice in the world.
Yes, ma'am.
So with our song titles, we actually branch out to, you know, early 60s Motown to now. Like you can find Luther Vandross, you can find Kendrick Lamar, you can find Karen White, you can find
Mary J. Blige.
So
it's a variety.
I like that. That's creative. I like that. Okay. So they need to find you on, well, we just need to Google You Stuck With Me.
Mm-hmm. So it's spelled a specific way. So it's the letter U, Stuck, S-T-U-C-K, Wit, W-I-T, Me, M-E.
Exclamation point.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to make sure I follow you on, well, definitely on YouTube, because I have to find the other ones because I'm not really on Apple like that. But I will follow you on YouTube and share your information with everyone. Do you guys have a social media, Instagram, all of that you want them to follow or what you want?
You want to see how we do the episode?
Oh, gladly.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. So you guys can email us and find us at youstuckwithme@gmail.com. So that's U-S-T-U-C-K-W-I-T-M-E @gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at You Stuck With Me Podcast. And you can find us on Instagram at youstuckwithme_podcast. So U-S-T-U-C-K-W-I-T-M-E_podcast.
When they can find you at personally, Pumpkin.
You can find me on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter at mine_1. That is M-1-N-E_1.
And you can find me under Queen Points. That's P-O-1-N-T-Z. Again, that is Queen Points, P-O-1-N-T-Z on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter. And if you want some more behind the scenes stuff, you know, our karaoke practice rehearsals. Because we get busy, we get down. you can also follow me on TikTok. That is QueenPoints22.
And I'm not on TikTok, and I don't think I ever will be.
But you on my TikTok, so that's all that matter.
Well, thank you for shouting out all the social media. So that way you guys can go and follow them and connect with this love story and even maybe be a special guest on their podcast because they're starting up next month. And so I'm going to say happy anniversary to you guys early. Kudos and much blessings to you. Everything is going to work out the way that it is intended to. And I appreciate you guys coming on Share the Tea Tuesdays. And I will let you know. Yeah, it's hard for me to do 30 minutes on a podcast. Y'all can tell I talk a lot.
It's fine. We go with the flow. Sometimes it be 30, sometimes it be 45, sometimes it be longer. We go with the flow.
Okay, I don't know if y'all can be like, cut. She talking too much.
No, we're not like that.
We're not like that.
Okay. Well, I hope to connect with you in the future. Everyone, don't forget to follow Share the Tea with V on all social media I just said Share the Tea with V. And except for a snap of the chat. You know, I'm not on there, but I'm on everywhere else. And remember to be intentional, to be insightful, and to be impactful in everything that you do. And thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Williams, for coming on Share the Tea Tuesdays.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. I want you to tell me one thing, and then we're going to close it out. If you can give some words of encouragement, what would it be? Anything.
Ooh, listen to the woman.
No.
Oh.
No.
I have no problem saying listen to the woman because as my wife, she sees things that I don't always see. So okay, I appreciate
that. You put it
that
way.
I like that.
I would say be intentional, be authentic, and remember, whatever you do, it can happen as long as you believe into it.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
And happy anniversary to you.